No, nothing.
Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready for this one?
UCR.
I have no idea.
Oh, I guess I'm doing it. Hi there and hello, Earth. This here is Uncensored Radio, and I'm one of your hosts this evening. I, of course, am Jeffrey, and alongside of me tonight, it's like the fags take over here on Uncensored, because we've got Mike J's in the house. Hi, Mike J.
Hey.
We got Topher up in the house.
Hello, with an S.
Topher's. And we've got Lips Hankins. Lips, how you doing, Lips?
Oh, you know, I'm doing fabulous. Sorry I was MIA last night.
Mm-hmm.
There was quite a few people MIA last night.
Oh, fresh, don't get fresh now.
I'm a fixin' to get fresh.
I see this. That's how you get in trouble, mother effer.
Why you gotta be all backwards for?
Get all who?
I'm trying to use the fucking Mountain Dictionary, all right? Cut me a break.
Oh, we need to talk about this tonight. But we'll get to it in a minute. So, everybody, what's been going on? What's happening with your day? How's life, you know?
Can't complain.
I'm good. You can't really complain.
God, bunch of freaking descriptive bunch over here.
Well, okay, I got a little bit of bad news. I'm going to have to put like $300 into my car.
Oh, get rid no, of it. What happened?
Well, a ball joint that holds one of my tires is getting ready to fall off. It's getting ready to break off. It's going
bad. That sounds hot.
Oh, doesn't it? It just sounds so, so appealing.
Don't you
my heart rate.
Don't you fret now. We'll get you fixed up.
Oh, why are you donating money? Is that what you're telling us?
Are you doing another Indiegogo thing?
Yeah, exactly.
I think we should.
Go run an Indiegogo campaign.
That's well, it's funny because I have like 4 days. I literally have, you know, 5 days to get this fixed because I have to get my car inspected and tagged again by the 30th. And I just went and got an inspection today, and they told me that the ball joint's going out, and I have to get it replaced before I can get it, before it'll pass inspection. So,
don't you know anybody that can fix that problem for you?
I wish.
You don't have nobody that'll just inspect it?
I do, but I still have, either way, I'm going to have to get it fixed, because the way it is, I can't even drive my car on the highway, because it shakes too bad.
Oh, yeah, boo-boo, you got to be careful with that, because if you got a ball joint that's going, your wheel could, like, fly off and you could kill someone and be liable for it.
Well, they told me, the guy told
like
me
everybody else.
Well, the guy told me that the wheel won't actually come off. If the ball joint goes out, the wheel will, it'll slant the wheel completely, but it won't actually come off, and I'll lose all control. I won't have any steering. So, basically, if I have to go anywhere over the next couple of days, it's like from my house to the station on the corner and back. Like, I'm not going anywhere that requires, like, me driving long distances unless I take, like, my mom's car or I have someone drive me, because I'm not going to put myself in danger and risk putting someone else in danger by me driving my car. But as of Monday, I won't be able to drive it if I don't have it inspected anyway. So if I don't have it fixed and inspected and legal, I can't drive it, so.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah.
And then you're not going to go to work. And then you're going to end up like James. Kidding.
Oh, that is James,
you.
Stupid.
Oh, my bad. I thought that was Topher's.
Oh.
Wow.
Hey, Mike.
No.
You might want to be a little careful. I have this little button that I can press called mute, and I'm not afraid to use it.
Oh. All right, ooh, all right.
Fresh, fresh.
Boo-boo.
Claws are out tonight.
I know, the catty bitches. Woof.
I would like to give a shout-out to Sakura-chan33. Thank you for registering for myuncensoredradio.com.
If oh, I thought ready. You were, like, thinking a hookup or something. I was so confused for a minute.
No, not quite.
You never know with Mikey.
No, you don't.
That's just great.
He's a fresh one, that Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm a
I didn't know
to be
that
fresh.
There's cruises that just go one way. I feel this is false advertising.
What do you mean? What's your, what
right,
you
I'm about
get?
To book this cruise, and the bitch only goes one way. I'm going to be stuck in Puerto Rico.
That's funny. Yeah.
You know, this, I'm telling you, this. I was looking up train tickets to go to L.A. in March for Karen's wedding, and I'm like, okay, you know, like, ooh, kind of expensive, but I want the ticket because you can get a room on a train and have a shower and a bathroom. I'm like, that'd be awesome, and you get to travel the country, and they stop every so often, and you get, like, 10 minutes, so I go have my cigarette. It'll be great, you know? I'll get liquored up on the train. And so I look at, like, to L.A., it's like, Friday to Monday morning. I'm like, oh, no, 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 no. So I find one going to Vegas, okay, that goes Friday night to Sunday morning. I'm like, how is it 22 hours of a shorter trip? Like, what do we go through the whole part of California? Like, what's this madness? I don't understand. And this is to have the room. So I'm like, oh, okay. And then I see something that says about a rental car for $14 a day. I said, well, we're going to need one because us and Katrina are going to drive a rental car to L.A. So whatever, I click on the thing and I look, and it said NM Las Vegas. Like, I missed it, so I click off. Then I go back on it, and it was New Mexico, Las Vegas. So my ass would have been sitting at the train station looking for Katrina, only to realize I'm not in Vegas, Nevada. I'm in fucking New Mexico. I didn't know there was a Las Vegas in New Mexico. And I was
You're
all
bad.
Excited because it was like $400 cheaper. So I'm like, yeah, we're doing this. Like, this is going to be great, no problem. Like, you know, for the two of us, it'll be like $1,000. Like, you know, it's not that much more than flying. Like, this is great, and our meals are included. Like, I'm not going to be stressed out. I can bring my dog. It'll be good. No, and then I was like, well, how far is it from Las Vegas, New Mexico to Las Vegas, Nevada? 22 hours. So I'm like, it's not like that bitch could even come pick my ass up.
Wow.
That's
like
gotta be careful.
Advertising or something.
Well, this is why I'm not the one that should be booking shit because, you know, I booked plane tickets for the wrong day. We're just going to end up in the wrong place or stuck in Puerto Rico. And at that point, I'd probably just try to get a smoothie hut and, like, work on the beach or something, you know? Like, I'd just stay.
Yeah,
I don't know where to live.
Get you a banana stand.
Right? Oh, my God, I've always wanted to pick bananas. Now, Mike, you've been to Puerto Rico a few times. What's the residency requirements? Like, are they going to let me stay or are they going to try to kick my ass out?
Puerto Rico is the United States there, honey, so I'm sure you could just
stay
as long as
you like. It's not a state. It's just like one of the, can't remember what it's called, what the technical term.
It's a territory.
Okay.
But,
so I can just stay there?
I think you can just stay there because there's no, like, official... you know, Puerto Rican citizenship that I'm aware of. It's the United States. I'm sure my tax dollars are going to pay some, you know, little Puerto Rican kid's WIC. You know?
Oh, my God.
Do you think they got... I'm going to look this up. Hold on. Let me see if they got the WIC checks in Puerto Rico. WIC
yeah,
check.
I mean...
How the hell you spell Puerto Rico?
I mean, not to be offensive to the Puerto Ricans, you know.
Oh,
I
they
understand.
Totally do have it.
I told you, it's basically America. They take American money.
Oh, no, I clicked on the website, and it was like a government site for Puerto Rico, and it says this site has stepped out for a bit.
The Puerto Rican government has shut down.
Now, isn't Puerto Rico supposed to be like a commonwealth of the U.S. or something like that? Isn't like a commonwealth?
Oh, God. Let me, you know what, let me Wikipedia this real quick.
Okay,
and I'm sure
is so
okay, so apparently I'm moving to Puerto Rico.
Please don't do that.
I'm okay with it. Look, dude, it's warm as shit there, right? I don't
even
know.
Yeah, but you know what? They have
I don't even know.
They have lizards. I don't think you like lizards.
I'm sorry, what?
Lizards.
Okay, I had those in Arizona. The poor neighbors thought I was being murdered because I screamed so loud because it scared the shit out of me. Like, I was just trying to go get a pool floaty so I could float in the pool and drink my beverage. My drink went flying, and it was just hanging on the wall, sticking its tongue out at me, and I just started screaming through the pool floaty. It went over into because in Arizona, they all have, and it was the same thing in, like, Vegas. They don't have fences. They have, like, brick walls that separate the yards. In the subdivision?
Wow.
They have, like, they're cement walls.
Wow.
It's nice looking.
It is nice looking.
Yeah, I love it. But, yeah, so the floaty went over the thing and I ran screaming in the house. I mean, that happened to me a few times because I didn't know they had king cockroaches in Arizona either. So the
morning
I started, I went out to smoke a cigarette. And, like, my aunt, you know, everybody gets their house, well, I would hope, most people get their house sprayed around the house, but they'll come up to, like, the back deck, you know, and they'll die. And, like, they were upside down, and I didn't see it until, like, I sat down, and I started screaming and was jumping on top of the futon. You know, my aunt comes running out, like, what's wrong? What's wrong? I'm like, it's a cockroach! It's upside down! No. Nope.
Yeah. Well, in Charleston, we have... So in Charleston, because we're Southern gentlemen and ladies, some of us, I call them a cockroach, but they're probably about 2.5-3 inches long, and they fly, and they call them palmetto bugs. It is a roach that flies, and you can actually see them running across the street. They're not it's completely disgusting, but they're everywhere. It's not like New York City, they have, like, the German roaches where if you see one, there's, like, 1,000 behind your cabinets and stuff like that. These are more outdoor bugs that, you know, when it's at nighttime, they want to come in for the warmth. So you'll get, like, one or two a year. But when you hit them with your shoe, they flat. So you try not to hit them with your shoe, but you're too afraid to pick them up with your hands and throw them outside, so you get the most... You get, you know, the Tupperware that your mom had at her house that she lets you borrow to bring home some leftovers, that Tupperware that you just didn't throw away because it's your mom's Tupperware. You scoop it up with one of those, and then you have to throw it outside, or you suck it up with a vacuum.
It sounds like you have experience. See, I can't. No.
Yeah.
No.
I've lived in Charleston since 1997. So I've been here for a little while. I know how to handle some palmetto bugs. I got this on lock.
I'm just going to vote no. That's like New York City. Like, Mike lived there for, like, 6 months, and he had a cockroach in his apartment. I'm like, no, and no.
Look, the roaches,
you don't
like...
have any in upstate? You don't have any roaches upstate?
Oh, I know there's people here. No, I've had some people that I knew, like, but we weren't going to go in their house. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we stood on the porch and shit. Like, you know, and this bitch is sitting there... Like, she had one of them old houses where, like, you know, you open the door and the stairs go up and then they, like, cut back at an angle. But it was a big older house. And, like, but there was a fucking kitchen table right there, you know, in, like, the foyer, which I didn't understand. And she's sitting there chomping on a salad, and there's a cockroach running across the table, one running up the wall. It's daylight.
Oh.
And there's, like, we, like, went to the door, and we saw cockroaches on the inside of the glass of the door. And me and my friend were like, oh, hell no. They're like, she's like, come on in. I'm like, no, bitch, we going to stay out here because they shit moving. And and she's just sitting there. I mean, how the hell could you eat something crunchy when there's bugs crawling on the table?
Oh.
Maybe it was a bug.
That's nasty.
Girl, I even threw my shoes out. I was not playing.
You make me laugh. Oh my god.
No, I can't do it. I scream like a bitch. When we were in North Carolina the last time, we stopped at a Sonic, and we were, you know, and, like, the back of the place, like, it had, like, a rock garden or whatever you want to call it, and I realized the rocks were moving. I lost my fucking mind and threw the food out. I'm like, we got to go. I can't do it. I can't. No.
You learn in the South, you learn to kind of accept that, you know, every once in a while when you turn on the light,
no,
there's going to be a 3.5-inch palmetto bug running across the floor. You just kind of have to ignore it.
Absolutely not.
What we do have, though, are probably about 5-inch spiders. And that's not the legs. That's just the spider that creates this web.
Oh,
they're called banana spiders. You can look them up on the internet. They're really pretty, but you don't ever want to get caught in a web because they will absolutely eat you, like, alive.
Banana spiders, you say?
Banana spiders. Look them up.
I'm looking it up right now.
Banana spiders.
Ooh.
Yeah, they don't fight either.
That's one thing I gotta say about living up in New England is that at least we get a good 7-8 months out of the year when it's just too cold to have bugs.
Right.
Yeah. It's true. But
like the biggest thing we have. Now, Topher, do you have chiggers?
So yes, and what they do, you know how you see pictures of, like, the old oak trees with all the Spanish moss hanging off of them, and everyone's like, oh, my God, they're so beautiful. That Spanish moss is covered in them. You don't ever touch Spanish moss in South Carolina.
Aunt's in, like, South Missouri. And she's like, you got to look out for the chiggers. And I'm like, I'm sorry, when did you become a racist? Because I didn't catch her the first time. I'm like, I was kind of horrified because I'm like, what is wrong? What? Like, what? She's like, chiggers! I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, it was one of those moments. And then she's like, they like elastic. She gets bit every time, and it's, like, all pussy. I'm like, oh, Mary, I can't.
Oh.
I, like, before we even get in Missouri, I get out the car and start dousing myself in my clothes. Like, I'm not, no, I can't partake.
Yeah.
I can't do the
critter. You don't ever want to live down south then. Because the further down south you get, the larger the bugs are. So you need to go to, Alaska.
Florida doesn't bother me. Like, we were there, and we were in a Publix, and there was a lizard running across the grocery store floor. It's a two-loaf thing now. We were trying to catch it.
Yeah, they're all well and good until, you know, you're trying to get out of bed and go to the toilet in the middle of the night, and one's, like, scurrying across the bathroom thing. Uh-uh.
Well, it's funny because, like, the people I nanny for that we drove their cars, they lived on an island. It was Siesta Key. And they were like, don't look in the one cabinet with the liquor if you don't like bugs. Because, you know, it sits all winter long, or all summer long. They don't live there. But, like, so, you know, the odds are there could be a roach or two. And I'm like, yeah, I won't even go in that cabinet. And I'm like, are you just trying to keep me away from the booze? They're like, oh, no, have at it. But just be forewarned. I'm like, no, because I'll pass out and have to go check in somewhere. But then she's like, you might want to stay out of the backyard. I'm like, I'm sorry, why? Because I guess if you don't trim your palm trees in Florida, you get rats, and they jump from palm tree to palm tree. I'm like,
wait. The rats jump from palm tree to palm tree?
Yep. They do it in South Carolina as well.
What? How do they even get up that high?
They climb.
Well, I thought rats
What
the hell kind of rats do you have that climb trees? Up in the cities, we got rats in the sewers, not up in the trees.
But they get into the house somehow. They have to climb. I'm not saying, you know, they're Olympic gymnasts or anything, but they can climb.
Hold on, can you imagine a little fucking rat circus, like, you know, doing some chin-ups and shit?
No. That's honest. No. No.
Karen would
shit bricks. Because South Carolina is, in Charleston, it's called the low country because we're literally below sea level. We're 6 feet above sea level. So we're
in
the entire state. Yeah.
On the HGTV Dream Home Giveaway.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, we're called the low country for a reason. So the reasons why the rats climb the trees here is because if it rains and it's high tide, downtown actually floods. and there's nowhere for the water to go because we are in the low country. So the rats have evolved into climbing into the palmetto trees or the palm trees, as everybody else calls them, and they end up getting stuck up there, and they can't climb down because the palm trees, their leaves point upward, so they have to actually climb over, and if they climb over, they end up falling in and killing themselves. So they end up just either rotting to death up there or they fall and they kill themselves. It's bad.
Oh.
Okay, dude, let me just tell you, if I'm walking down the street and a rat, like, commits Harry Carey out of a palm tree, I will be in the psych ward.
That's precious. Do you know I'm going to have to get some freeze-dried rats now or something and ship them up, and I'm going to put them in your friggin' front bushes.
No, here's the thing, like, I've never seen a rat, and I don't think that I'd be afraid of it, but I would feel horrible. Like, I'd be crying on the floor, like, picking up the rat, like, I'm so sorry. You know, I'm telling you, after the dog, like, I got this thing for animals. Now,
look,
if it was
a
cockroach, I'd be like, good riddance.
They're all filthy, dirty, rotten little creatures, all right? Until you've lived when you have to, like, walk to work with them and shit. I mean, we'll go to New York City. I'll take you down behind Macy's on 35th where all the homeless folks pee up against the side of the building. And you can see all the little rats coming out of the trash bags. Oh,
obviously, you didn't read Rats of Nim, okay?
I did. We had to read it in school.
Rats.
Yeah, didn't you guys go to school together? Didn't you guys read the same shit?
Well,
yeah,
I read some of it, and he slept through some of it.
No, that was only later when I
surprise,
left
surprise.
School. I you know, I wish Google was there, because I would have passed fine. But I would just kind of wing it. I'd look what he wrote for answers because the teacher never checks shit. And so I'd just look what he wrote, and I'd kind of just do a vague description. And she'd be okay.
Like, all right,
I
got the gist of it.
I don't know.
That's all right. Look, half the teachers we had couldn't even pronounce most of the names in the book anyway, so.
What the hell was the one book? And she would say Tituba? And what was it really, Tituba?
Tituba.
And the bitch, she was a nun, and she was like, Tituba? We're like, who the hell's Tituba? And then we had
that's
one teacher that kept calling it what the hell did she call it? She didn't call it the dodo bird. She called it the doo-doo bird.
Yeah,
the
doo-doo bird.
The Catholic education.
Telling you, it's done wonders for me.
Well, apparently being in South Carolina's education is not all that bad if you have the doo-doo bird.
No, I think you're one step above the wonderful education you can get from Tyburn Academy.
Oh, hey, you said the name.
Oh, I'm not allowed? Sorry.
No.
My bad.
See, I lived in New York until I was in my sophomore year, and then I moved down here. So in my sophomore year, I was doing calculus. And then I come down here, and they're like, introduction to algebra. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Really?
Oh, that
introduction
is sweet.
To algebra? I got this. We don't have to get an introduction. We met before. We broke up. Let's move on. No more algebra for me. Let's keep going with calculus. So I ended up having to graduate a year early because I got tired of, now we're going to read Of Mice and Men, and I read that in the 7th grade. I'm in the 10th grade. It's
I'm like, that's like a
middle school. Graduate. It is.
Like, we read, that's, it's definitely interesting, I think, to look at the education system from up north or south, or even, like, out west. Like, New Mexico is one of the poorest education ratings in the country. It's pretty bad.
In New Mexico?
Mm-hmm.
I would have thought that Mississippi would have was, because I know that they have probably the lowest SAT scores in the country. But I could be wrong. I don't know.
I just know that New Mexico's on the list of whatever the worst states are. Like, New Mexico is one of them. It may not be the worst state in the country, but it's up there.
No offense to anybody who lives in New Mexico.
And if you do, I'm jealous because I'd like you to go to, if you're in Albuquerque, if you could go over to Twister's and get me one of them chicken burritos, that would be fabulous. If you could mail it to New York, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, you don't want a mailed burrito. You don't want a fresh burrito either.
Uh-oh, them burritos were amazing.
You're asking for trouble.
That shit was good. Ooh, it was so good. It was wrong.
Yeah. So I don't trust other places that make Hispanic food or like Tex-Mex food or Mexican food or anything like that. You're asking for some kind of like, yes, try this.
Are you high? What kind of better place to go to get Mexican food than New Mexico?
Apparently, they don't have like Mexican food. I heard they had good Mexican food. I'm just saying.
I don't know. I had the best Mexican food in Arizona.
Really?
And New Mexico.
What was his name?
Who?
Juan.
Jesus. No, really. It was Jesus. And we worshipped all night long.
Oh, my
wow.
God.
And all you got out of it was a burrito? Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's all I wanted.
Yeah, right.
No,
a burrito and a burrito and a jalapeno that sucked on.
I was in Albuquerque for a week for a wedding. The lady I nannied for took me and her boyfriend to New Mexico without the children for her best friend's wedding. Her best friend put us in the wedding, and we had never met her, mind you. So we were there for like a week or whatever, and we stayed in a great place. And, so I started I don't even remember what I used back then, because I think it was still MySpace. I don't remember how I met the kid. Like, I don't, maybe Life Out or something. I don't know. So I met this kid, and he drove a Beamer, and he, like, got stuff from Tiffany's. So he came and picked me up from the hotel, he had a Benz, excuse me. And he brings me over to his apartment, and he is the gayest thing I've ever met in my life. Like, his pictures, like, I'm like, this is false advertisement. This is when I was skinnier and cute, so I was pissed. But I went to his house, and he's trying to show me, like, 300 on bootleg. He was still in the theater then. And he was like, you want to see my bedroom? I'm like, no, I need to go back to the hotel. But the thing is, the kid got me, we got high. I had never been so high in my life. And it's easy to get high. It's not easy to get unhigh. But it was peer pressure. Everybody got quiet. Like, are you kidding me? Like, none of you have ever done it? It was pure, like, I felt,
no,
I was like, you could stab me.
No, never, never. I never got high with your cousin.
At 12 years old.
I never got
Wow.
Oh, come on, Topher. I see you down there with some poppers or something. With your little club boy, your little go-go boy.
Okay, poppers were like 2001. Let's get current.
Boo-boo.
I'm just saying.
Were you not at the club in 2001? Because I was.
No, I was. And I
never did it.
A little bit of thumb. I'm just saying.
When they were
but
like, it's VCR head cleaners?
Was,
like, what?
No. See, I did poppers once, and it literally, like, I felt it was like this instant rush of being drunk and high at the same time for, like, about 5 seconds. And then it was, oh, my God, I need a fucking leave because my head is killing me. It was awful.
Oh.
It was the worst experience ever. And I don't know how
see,
these people in porn do it, because they do poppers left and right in these porn videos. And I'm like,
I just
love
the song.
I'd have to say, get off.
Hey, did you ever hear the song? Mike, you remember it from Charades? When I was just a lad, I was told that anal sex was bad. I was told that it was a dirty, rotten sin. But then I learned from other guys that no matter what the size, there's a simple trick to help you take that beep. Just a quick sniff of poppers helps the beep right in, the beep right in, the beep right in. Oh, yeah. I loved that song. So now y'all have education. I sang two songs and Karen missed it. So I have two songs in my repertoire, A Quick Sniff of Poppers and Como Te Gusta Mi Pinga. Thank you. I'm here.
I love that one. I love that one. That's my favorite one. Because that's from the movie Trick, right?
Yes.
One of my favorite movies of all
time. It was my first gay movie. Enter you.
I think it was mine as well. I think it was Birdcage first, and then it was Trick. And then
I
did not
see.
And Circuit wasn't a good movie at all.
birdcage until I was older, and I was so pissed because everybody, I never saw it, but everybody kept telling me that I was Nathan Lang, and I was like, I don't know what the fuck this is, but it can't be good, and fuck you. Like, I used to get a complex, so I wouldn't watch the movie, and then I finally watched it, and I was even more pissed. Because I'm like, if you're going to say something, I'm Madea. I'm Diary of a Mad Black Woman. Like, you call me Madea all day, I'll take that as a compliment. But the minute you call me Nathan Lang, I'm a cut your ass. No. And then my second gay movie was, what's that one? The Broken Hearts Club with Dean Cain.
I liked it. It was his Andrew... something or other. Andrew McKean.
Yeah, the one that he was,
Andrew,
like, big in, like, the 90s. He was, like, the on Teen Beat. Andrew McKeegan.
Yes.
Key something or another.
Yeah, Andrew Keegan. Andrew Keegan, I think is what his name is. Ooh. I'm just saying. That was one hot boy. He does not look hot today.
I like, what was it, Timothy? You know, the one that it was my favorite line in the
Olafson?
Movie. He's like,
Olafson?
I love him. Where he was like, you know, you have a lot of catching up to do. I was like, oh!
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, don't look
great.
Up Andrew Keegan on Google, because it is tragic.
Just a little
bit? Tragic. Yeah.
Well, apparently his prettiness broke up with him, which leads me to my next question. Michael, I'm no good at segueing. Like, what the fuck? What are you doing with your life? Why are you being quiet? Like, hello.
I don't even know what topic's coming up. So, segue.
It's okay, because apparently I don't either. Social media and breakups. Is it a game changer? Because people be breaking up on social media left and right. Like, you know, everybody got a friend on Facebook. They're like, fuck you, you son of a bitch. I was the best thing you ever had. I'm going to be fine without you. And then, you know, 2 hours later, oh, I'm alone. Nobody loves me.
Yeah.
I'm going to die. And then 2 hours later, fuck him. And then the next day, we're back together. We love each other.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand it. Like, people, like, I feel like it's changing relationships because they're breaking up on Facebook and everybody knows your business.
Well, so, yeah, I delete people like that. I'm not your friend. Don't call me, nothing. Just no.
So, are you
but
not friends with Madison Devine on Facebook?
I am, but most of his shit, like 95% of his shit, is hysterical. So I can't easily.
Okay. He is very funny in the morning. He makes me laugh out loud, but I'm always busting his ass because he'll do the pity party constantly, and I'll always comment and be like, "Mary, get your shit together, put your big girl panties on, and stop whining." It makes me crazy. Or he'll be like, "I'm alone and nobody loves me, bitch. Stop posting shit like this. That's why you alone, stupid."
Look,
I say that with love.
Some support.
Well, a bitch has a face that would stop an 8-day clock, so, I mean, I don't know.
Wow.
Now,
you just being mean. I'm
you
just saying
are
what he's doing.
Spicy. It's been, I don't know, how long has he been talking? You've been just
it's
mean.
Because they were supposed to hook up, Topher. That's what you don't know about this. Madison and Michael were going to do it. Yeah, girl, they were gonna, you know, bump kitties.
Oof.
Listen, I ain't never, all right? I ain't never.
You two,
you ain't never.
How do you think that we all got your naked photo? Was because you sent it to Madison, and Madison so kindly sent it to us so that everybody got to share that photo.
She got it off of Adam for Adam.
Oh.
Look,
okay.
I ain't never hit that cattywampus, all right?
Oh. Okay, we can be nice. Let's use nice words. Let's use some nice words.
But no, I'm
okay,
curious.
What
like,
I find interesting,
Facebook,
though,
with Facebook,
is that people are less interested in knowing what what's going on with their friends on Facebook as far as breakups, but they're all about finding out what's going on in the celebrity world and who's breaking up with who and who slept with this person the day after they broke up with this person. People eat that shit up with a spoon. I don't get it.
No, I love Facebook is like nosy book. Well, I used to love it. I'm not loving it so much. But I'm sorry, Mike. Go ahead.
Well, like, you can still be friends with people on Facebook, and you can just unsubscribe to their comments or whatever. Because there's a bunch of people that I'm still friends with on Facebook, but I've unsubscribed to their stuff because, I mean, honestly, I can't even understand what you post to begin with because it's not grammatically correct, and it gives me a headache to try to read it. So,
shut up.
Not you.
Like, today, are you speaking about me and my Dexter post?
No, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about, I hate to pigeonhole folks, but drag queens that don't really think
And are you talking about James? Is that what you're trying to say?
No, not
hey.
James. Not James on this show. I don't even know his real name. I'll just put it out there, because Original Candy Kiss.
Oh,
sorry,
this is
what?
Drag queen. I don't know. I can't mess with the Syracuse queens because like they're crazy. The one bitch, like the whole life story. He's like, I want to be a chef. Does anybody know how to get a food license for your apartment? And somebody easily posted on the bitch's comment. They're like, the health department is not going to let you get a food license or whatever with roaches and cats and dogs. And then the dude seriously commented, he's like, the roach problem's gone, the landlord sprayed. I'm like, oh my God, why are you putting this on Facebook? What is wrong with you?
Yeah, that is severely not right.
Like, you're
telling
people you have roaches and you want to be a caterer? What the hell?
F off the food. Oh God, no.
Yeah.
That's in my stomach a little bit.
I don't know. Like, I have a hard time with it.
I
like to be nosy, you know, when there's, like, when somebody's fighting and they fighting back and forth on Facebook, like, I will go and friend request their enemy and they friends just so I can read what everybody else got to say. Like, I do have that nosy problem. But it's starting to die because I'm so annoyed because it's always, like, I really hate it, especially because it tends to be the white girls that are always putting about the N-word ain't this and ain't shit and they don't know how to treat a man or treat a woman. You real blah, blah, blank would treat a woman. And I'm like, bitch, maybe it's the type of dudes you're going after, stupid. Like, this is bad on you. Like, it is your fault that you're fucked up and end up in shitty relationship after shitty relationship because you pick bad men because you're not, you don't want to be loved. You're too afraid of it, so you pick assholes that you're never going to change. You know you ain't going to change them. But then you all cry on Facebook when he sleeps with your sister. What the fuck are you doing?
Well, so the thing of it is it's not just relationships. I mean, people.
Thank you.
That is an applause.
I thought it was static in my phone at first. I had to think for a minute. People just share the randomest crap on here. I mean, I want to share a couple classic ones with you here. This one, and I'm not going to name any names or anything. I'm just going to read these posts. It says, someone come, hey, my ass, pretty please, on Hiawatha Boulevard E. Like, you know,
what?
That doesn't make no sense. Yeah. And then,
like English is their second language.
Yes.
I'm
yes.
not sure what their first one is because it hasn't been diagnosed.
And then
yeah,
I feel like I could press the option number one for English on that one. I'm sorry.
Right? And can anyone do me a favor at 1:30, pick me up at Ho and take me to get my car? Where's Ho?
That's got to be the bitch that was on Jerry Springer. Are you talking about that one?
Maybe. Probably.
The one that's got, like, the poofy face that had the shitty situation?
Could be.
Hmm.
I think that's an MNES type of thing.
Yeah. And then, well, I mean, this is the level of intelligence we're dealing with here. Anyone know anything about computers? Every time I go to send an email, it tells me internet options, no working, to close the program.
What?
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry. No, that's funny shit.
Okay, so this sounds funny, but I heard splashing like someone was peeing in the toilet. So as I walked to see what it was, I turned on the light, and on there is my black and white cat sitting on the edge of the toilet peeing.
Are you
like,
serious?
Over there, I'm dead serious.
Wow, I wish my dog would do that.
I mean, it's like oversharing. These are like legit Facebook posts. Like, seriously?
You're just going through your wall, and that's what these people are saying?
Well, I'm going through
their
wall.
Hang
I'm
on.
Picking out all the funny ones.
It's really scary. Like, people put the dumbest stuff on Facebook. That's why I try not to post ever. But today, it happened to me. I watched the series finale of Dexter, and I went to put series finale, and the iPhone changed it to finally. But I didn't catch it until after I posted it. Yeah. So then somebody was like, well, thank God that's finally, or finale. I'm like, dude, bite me. It was horrible. But the Dexter series finale was not cute. I understood it, but I didn't like it.
I heard there was supposed to be like a big finale. It was supposed to be like one of the big ones.
Well, it was, but I mean, and I understood, and I got their thinking behind it. I just, you know, like, I want to see a happy ending, and that necessarily wasn't. But I'm sorry, back to Facebook. Like, yeah. Now, James, you're a big Facebook poster. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. I was screening, so I didn't hear any of that conversation.
Oh, well, no, never mind. Go for it.
I don't like people that post stupid shit on Facebook. I think I've done what Mike did and subscribed to a lot of people that I'm still friends with just because I don't want to see their drama. And some of them are people that I'm actually related to.
What about people that constantly post photos of their kids or, more importantly, their babies? Because I've had a few people I'm friends with have babies recently. And every other photo is a picture of their freaking kid.
Well, you don't like kids, so that's why. But I love that. Like, that's what I love about Facebook is because, you know, you have friends that you don't get to see as much as you'd like to, and they have kids, and you don't get to see their kids, so I enjoy it because, you know, I get to feel like I still know what's going on. I get to see the kids.
Well, I'm not saying, like, don't post a photo of your kid, but, I mean, I don't need, like, 5 photos of your kid a day. Like, you know, one every couple of years is fine. You know, I mean, like, you see one little pudgy white baby, you've seen them all.
See, this is where Mike is really bad, because every year I have to call him and be like, it's your, you know, niece's birthday. It's Christmas, Michael. You have to buy gifts for the kids. We've been friends since birth. You need to buy her daughter a Christmas present. And he hems and haws. Like, it's always a battle. Like, I've got to, like, twist his arm to get him to buy Christmas presents for the children.
Oh.
Wow. You mean they're not the age yet where I can just slip $20 in an envelope?
Not you. You could do that to me, and I'd be fine with it, I'm saying.
They check payable to Dover Cassidy. I'm just saying they check payable to Dover Cassidy and send them right down here. We don't need to put Indiegogo in there. Just mail the check directly to me. I promise I'll get
it. Yeah, remember, I'm taking donations to get my car fixed, so.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and he is a legitimate 501(c), just in case anyone's wondering. You can write it off. Kidding. Don't take me at my word.
You're lucky I didn't hear what
you said. Tax deductible.
You're so lucky I did not hear what you said.
Aren't you supposed to be screening calls?
Oh, do we actually have callers?
Do we have callers?
Do people listen to this show?
We had one. We had one, but he said he pressed one accidentally.
Like, I don't want to talk. This show's scary. These people are crazy. Well, let's get a little more taboo. Now, how do you guys feel about people dating, or could you, date an ex's family member?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, Mike, we know you will. You'll date somebody's father, mother, and brother. At
the same time. I don't know. It depends on how the relationship ended. But okay, if I was in a relationship with somebody, odds are they're probably only gay member of their family. So I don't think that's really going to happen.
Oh, that's not true at all in mine. Okay, but like the story I heard, the reason why I'm asking this is because there was a woman, she's famous, don't ask me who because I don't remember, was dating the son and then started dating the father.
So I'm guessing the father had more money.
I was thinking more experience in the bedroom, but there could be, yeah, I'm sure. Like, how do we feel about that, Topher? Could you date somebody's son and then date their father?
Oh, no. No. Like, no. Well, because if you're dating somebody, so I thought you meant like a cousin or something. That I feel is appropriate. Otherwise, it just feels like it's incest. And, here's you four, if you broke up with the person, there's obviously a good reason behind it, which means that if you're just going to continue to dip your crayon in that coloring book, you're going to get the same kind of picture. I'm just saying.
I see it as revenge.
See, I could go the opposite way. I could probably go from the father to the son without any issues.
you couldn't go from the son to the father. Yeah, you don't like the old guys. You like young guys.
I don't like the old ones. So, you know, I mean, I will probably go after the old one to get the money. And then when he kicks the bucket, then I'd go after the son.
Oh, you were a gold digger. Oof.
I would go after
No, Michael the... is just a relationship digger. Like,
listen,
can we talk
Carl
about
wasn't
this?
Raised up for it, all right?
Can we talk about what just transpired in your life or no?
What just transpired?
Your pen pal?
Oh, God. Do we have to?
Well, I just think they would find it interesting because they've had their
it
own
makes
writing.
It makes for good radio, I'm just saying.
Yeah, if you don't want to talk about your psychotic ex-friend, then we don't have to.
If we can leave it as pen pal and we don't accuse anyone of hacking any website, I think we'll be safe.
Okay. So you guys
know.
Oh,
I know we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so apparently, at some point on a pre-show, we have said that this specific person, and if you've listened to the show, you know who we're talking about, hacked our website, and that's why it was crashed. And I think, James, you were the culprit of this. Do you recall this conversation?
I never in my life said anything about said person hacking our website. I will go on the record with that right now. I never said that.
I don't know who it was. Did we say it on air? Because, you know, all the shows blend together for me. So, like, for a minute there, I was like, well, maybe. I'm like, but if we did, it was something very quick and in passing, but I don't recall this at all.
You know, we were very good at coming up with nicknames for people. I'm just saying. So we probably said, I think we probably said a nickname that we gave
no,
him.
No, no.
And completely forgot about
it. I'm pretty sure, like, we're pretty good at saying, you know, the name... Iggy's pretty close.
Okay.
To the pen pal. But so this pen pal, okay, let's go back to this because Mike and his crazy exes, God, I love it. He always likes, I don't know, Mike, you've got this thing where you find the most fucked up person around you and you get transfixed on them because I think you want to fix them or be their savior, but it always ends up dragging you down. And this kid in particular, like, had a big problem and it was, I feel, a big part of why things went south the way they did with Mike last year. And then when Mike came back on the show one night, this kid found Mike again and started emailing him. So now that Mike's kind of back-ish, you know, did the website again or whatever and kind of making, you know, semi-regular appearances, the kid kind of lost his mind again and said, what, Michael? He said, what, he couldn't be your friend?
Basically, long story short, right. I mean, he couldn't be my friend or, you know, be associated with basically anyone that I would choose to be associated with that would, you know, basically set out to attack him, more or less.
Because,
you know,
supposedly in a pre-show, we said that this said person hacked our website.
Yeah. Yeah, and I still swear it was James that just was in there fucking around and broke it.
Wow.
You want to keep talking shit on me, Mike J? Really?
Listen, you going to go all cattywampus on my ass?
Cattywampus? Who's that?
What is that?
Oh, are you referring because he's from Missouri?
I don't know. Do they speak mountain in Missouri?
No.
Oh, my God. So I know we only got a few minutes left. Let's talk about this. Okay, wait. Where the hell is it?
Oh, man.
Can you send that to me, Mike? Because I exit out of it because I would like to send it to Topher and James so they can see. There is a, what is it called? The Mountain
something.
Mountain Man Dictionary?
Yes. And that's where cattywampus is.
A cattywampus? Well, do they actually call people a cattywampus?
I'm sorry.
Like, what is exactly a cattywampus?
I don't know. You'd have to get someone from Mountain Town on here. The exact phrase is, it's cattywampus. Basically, if the translation is correct, that's what's happening to Topher's car. It's gone all cattywampus. It's out of alignment.
It's not my
James's
car.
Topher's got a fag gag. His
right,
car is
Mike.
Fine. Mike, and I'm pretty sure that Topher might actually make more money than you. So you should sit down on that.
Mm. Well, he's like a doc or something or other.
We're not talking about my day job at all. That is off limits.
All right. Well, listen, you go sit down with a good book and, keep grinning like a mule eating briars. So anyway.
Fork a horse.
Did you guys get the list? Okay, it says Irish Taters is Irish. Yeah, just go there and it pulls up this list. And actually, James, I just sent it to you. If you could put that in the chat room for the folks, I think it'd be real swell. Because this is just the best thing I've ever seen in my life.
Oh my God.
A spell? What? I mean, biled is boiled. Bends is because. Bends, you're going, I'll go with you.
Oh, there's one, it's Gone Beaver. Said of someone who has been dead some time, he's about to go under, but once dead, he's a gone beaver.
What?
That is me again, because I haven't got it yet.
Lord knows I love me a good beaver. Shoot.
Oh, no. That bitch is
okay, did you see clear tush? She had to go clear to the spring for her washer water? What the fuck?
Listen, we make fun, but there really is. I don't know if it's still online somewhere, but several years ago, 2020 did a special about these people that live up in the Appalachians, which is what this dictionary is making fun of, is the people that live in the mountain towns. And it is so incredibly sad to see, I mean, it's not even American. Like,
a Davenport is a couch or a sofa. Dope is what they call Coca-Cola.
You've never heard of a Davenport? I've heard of
no.
that. My auntie used to use
that. Dreakley? Dreakley means directly. I'll be there, Dreakley. What the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
I can't even say.
A lumpy dick.
Hang on.
I don't know what this is, but it says lumpy dick. An early pudding made by stirring dry flour into boiling milk until thick, then serving it with fruit milk, molasses, and or sugar. A lumpy dick. And that sounds nothing like I thought it was at all.
A lumpy dick, all right.
A lumpy dick. To make a beaver is to get a move on or to travel in a hurry. To make meat is to hunt for and lay in a good store of meat.
Gizzy whiz means thing. That problem is the gizzy whiz is broke. Gooden apparently is have a gooden. A grass widow is a divorced woman. I just get shit of, get shed of, get rid of. Wish I could get shit of this cold. What the hell?
So is this like West Virginia talk or something?
No, I think it's like Kansas City, Missouri talk, because I'm pretty sure I've heard James say some of this shit. Hankrin, Hankrin for some ice cream.
If you send it to me, I would be able to verify.
I did.
No,
so
you didn't.
Listen, I got the
next recipe that's going to be posted up in Mama's Kitchen. It's called Poke Salad. It's wild greens, parboil, cooked down, and add scrambled eggs. Some think poke salad is poisonous if you don't boil and discard the water after a couple of times. I've seen it coming up between the cracks in the concrete in a large city.
Oh, my God.
They have hockey?
You little heathen of fucking pot liquor. I like that.
Okay, apparently hockey is something to avoid stepping in. Hoe cake, originally corn mix, cooked out of hoe on an open fire.
Love me.
Ooh, a slush lamp. A slush lamp is also known as a bitch. I'm using that tomorrow. Actually, I'm going to use that a little later. You are such a fucking slush lamp. Slush lamp.
I'll come if I can. What the hell? Ignorant? Oh, Lord.
Ignorant. A tanglefoot is whiskey. Thrums are the fringe on a buckskin or leather clothing.
I mean, you guys, you have to go and research this because I just play purdy. That kid needs a new play purdy, and apparently it means toy.
Oh, this can go
I just see the pork salad. Why would they call a skunk a polecat?
I don't know. Oh, a yellow leg is a dragon.
Because of its white stripe.
Pot liquor. Liquor from cooking green turnips.
Oh.
Okay.
A yunk. Yunk is a children, or children. Yunks are children. I don't understand.
Michael, where do you come up with this shit? That's what I need to know.
I don't even know. I mean, I just, some stuff I've seen on TV. But, I mean, there's some etiquette that you got to follow, too, when you're dealing with these mountain folks. For example, if you go in someone's house, whistle or something, so they know you're coming. You can holler, is anyone to home? And if you're in the woods, make lots of noise so the Steelers will know you ain't the Reveners. Whatever that means.
I have no idea.
A fine kettle of fish, that is.
It's a fine fucking kettle of fish.
Bleeding like a stuck hog. Okay.
That's like how when you met Joey, he was bleeding like a stuck hog.
No. Oh, yeah, when he stepped on all that glass. Doesn't that tear you for a duster?
I'll be darned.
Doesn't that just get you? What the hell?
Liz, I'm going to use this on the next Fun Friday show. I'm drunker than Cootie Brown. I don't know who Cootie Brown is, but...
Oh, we're going to look her up.
Grinning like a mule eating briars.
Cootie Brown. Wow, what's really interesting is Judy Brown is Chris Brown's mother.
Any relation to Downtown Donna Brown?
Well, Cootie Brown, all right.
That is delicious.
Wait, I'm drunker than Cootie Brown means you're dizzy? Like, that's a whole lot to say one word.
Why are you swearing when you can use five?
I'm so tarred, I can't see straight, means very tired. Like, why are they putting more words in?
Oh, my God.
I'm going to clean your plow.
That's my favorite. I like that.
Well, I'm going to have to clean somebody else's stuff another time, because it sounds like the music is gone if it's over.
Yeah,
I guess so.
I think James is plowing us all off the air.
Well, I'm going to tell you about New York. Like a bunch of hogs running around with sticks in their mouth. Apparently that means it's going to be a cold winter. Good night, everybody.
Good night, guys.
We'll see y'all later.
I might could. Y'all too?
Oh, God.
It's Tuesday, and this is your Jake Penland Encore on Uncensored Radio.
I'm gonna kick some ass, trying to try to build up my podcast. I'm preaching, looking to help fuck up, cause I'm fucking awesome. I swear you broke my code.
I usually stop it. I'm stopping it there. It goes on and on. It
that
rambles
was really
like me
good
on the show. Even my theme songs ramble, Susie.
I loved it, though.
It's cute. That was actually Xander's idea, I have to say. Xander, we all remember the death of Xander in the cult. He's
yeah,
gone now, but that was a nice parting gift. That was a good idea. And he supplied me with the musical bed because he's a DJ, and he has like 7,000 songs of the karaoke version. So I should have waited to oust him from the cult until after I got the 7,000 songs. That was a mistake by me.
I really thought that he was going to come back by now. I really did.
Oh, no, man. When I'm done, I'm done. It's like my ex-girlfriends. You know, when I'm done, I move on. Fuck it.
Oh, wow. You're harsh.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's harsh because I do have a long leash, you know. It's like it takes a lot to get me to that point. I put up with a lot. I mean, you just watch me, not even just on Twitter, my own life. Like, people can do a lot of shit, and I just kind of brush it off and go, oh, they're working through this issue. But there is a limit. Basically, I have a very long fuse, but when it
mm-hmm.
gets down to the dynamite, it's deadly. And I think that's the way to live.
Was it
enough
the fact
me.
That he was, like, threatening to come to your house and stuff?
Oh, God, I don't want to rehash it. There were so many things. It was more just that, you know, this is a mental health show. It is. You know, we try and do pop culture, and I love it. We try and be funny and do Howard Stern. Like, there's so many different things going on here, but at the heart of it, it really is a mental health show. Like, I'm fucking Hannibal Lecter without the murdering. You know what I mean? Like, I can read people and help people, and that's what the show is, and I love it. So I think Xander just started to try and improve a little bit, and then I just kind of upped the game. Like, dude, you know, you're 800 pounds or 600 pounds. You got to kind of like step it up a little bit here. And he cracked. That's what really happened.
It hurts.
Yeah. Well, you know,
we have to let him go though.
Yep. I'm sure he's fine now. All right. We got a lot to get to, but first let me say hi to Eli. Eli, welcome to the show.
Hey, Jake. How you doing? Hey, Susie. How are you?
Hi.
We
Hi.
Both want to make sure that you have not eaten. Is that true?
Yeah.
I keep eating right now. I'll stop.
Well, I don't know if you remember.
No, I'm
last
taking.
Week.
I'm swallowing some applesauce with some vitamin B12.
You shouldn't eat anything because that was my.
What
that was everybody
last week?
Oh, you snapped. You don't remember?
I just kind of. I don't know. What happened was I think I was sort of. It was sort of like the perfect storm. I was fasting for this holiday called Yom Kippur and trying to atone for my sins. And I guess I got into, like I had an attitude problem because my stomach was empty and I was very irritable and wondering why I was spending a Saturday afternoon listening and participating in the Jake Pellin Show while my stomach was empty. And so as I was listening to one of the callers call in, I was trying so hard to keep up and comprehend and focus on what was taking place, but I had a very difficult time focusing because I couldn't understand what the person was saying. And then I just kind of interjected and conveyed how upset I was, that I was basically, like, upset because I couldn't understand what this person was saying. I don't know if there was something wrong with her phone or if she was just incoherent.
She's deaf.
So I just got very irritated, that's all.
You know Carly's like 90% deaf, right?
I didn't know that, but that would explain why I had a hard time understanding her, though.
Well, all I know is we have now talked Eli into fasting for every show. He's not allowed to eat before the show, Susie, so he'll always
well,
be
Well, I had breakfast. I had breakfast. The time before, I did not have breakfast, but today I did, so I'm basically skipping lunch.
That bums me out, dude. No breakfast either.
Well, I'm still in a bad mood.
Oh, okay. As long as you're in bad mood. All right. Well, yeah. Speaking of bad moods, Eli, Emma Caulfield's going to call in about 5-6 minutes. So that's the one phone call.
Okay.
Everyone else, you know, make sure they have something interesting to say.
Wait,
so,
before we move on, can I say something?
Of course.
I requested your friendship on Facebook like 6 months ago, and you still haven't responded.
I have not logged into Facebook in probably
I haven't used Facebook in like several months, but I'll look for your request and obviously accept it.
Oh, you're talking about Eli or me?
Hey, both of you.
I don't go on Facebook.
Yeah,
Facebook isn't
even that cool anymore.
It was never cool, let's be honest. And here's the problem with Facebook. Like Twitter, at least you've got your run-of-the-mill psychopath in every conversation talking about something horrible. But on Facebook, everybody tries to put their best foot forward, and it's a complete facade. Everybody's like, you know, everyone's followed by their own family. So there's this whole thing like, well, I can't say this or can't say that, or I have to put these up, or it's pictures of my babies for my parents and shit. And everyone's so fake there. I hate it. So
yeah.
I never go there. I'll never.
And I'm also reminded why I'm not friends with certain people anymore, you know, from being on Facebook.
Yeah,
but
and plus they.
But that comes in handy. It gets a helpful filter.
What, you like Facebook? Well,
yeah, like I like knowing who is my enemy.
Well, that's what Twitter's. But anyway, don't take it personal, Susie.
Go ahead, sorry. Okay, fine.
No, I was going to say, don't take it personal. The only time you'll ever see Jake Pellin active on Facebook is when my wife is on Pinterest, and she signs in on my Facebook account. So you'll just see Jake Pentland pin this, and it's cats or some stupid girly shit. That is not me. That's my wife.
Okay.
So don't take offense. But I got to catch you guys up on a story before Emma calls in, because I've been really busy at work these last 2 weeks, and I've been editing with a couple people a documentary on my mother, who ran for president, as we all remember. And to be honest with you, while it was happening, I didn't really pay much attention to it. It seemed like a vanity project. And you know, me and my mom were having our own issues at the time. But it was filmed by this guy, Eric Weinrib, who is from the Michael Moore tree. He's worked with Michael Moore for 10 years, and Michael Moore lent him to my mother. And he's been documenting it, and I've been watching it the last 2 weeks, and it is actually brilliant. My mother is a genius. I had forgotten. The reason I'm telling this story is because I was just starting to go, you know, I've been kind of on the outs with my family a little bit. You know, I love my family, but I've been trying to create this healthy distance in my own life. I'm 35, I'm married, and they still kind of, it's just natural. They still see me as, you know, like a 13-year-old. And I think that's the same with probably everybody, Susie or Eli. If you think about it, I know we're all older. Do you catch yourself, I'll ask you first, Susie, do you catch yourself sort of playing the same Susie character in your family that you have as a kid? Does that make sense?
Well, I don't purposefully, but it does seem like they don't see me evolving. They have called me the bulldozer my whole life, and they won't quit. So I feel like I'm a patient person, but they still see me as a wrecking ball. So.
Yeah, and Eli, we've talked about your family at length on the show and off the show, but you know what I'm saying, right? There's just this point
totally.
In your own way. So I've been doing that the last couple of years. My family is just sort of saying, like, this is my boundaries. This is what I will and won't put up with. And so I'm watching this documentary this 2 weeks unfold, and I'm like, God, I forgot how brilliant my mother is. And I haven't really talked to my family in a long time. And maybe I've been too, you know, caught up in my own world. Well, sure enough, I can't give names. I wanted to like, say what really happens, but I will get murdered and fired and all that. But I do have some family members that, let's just say, are anxious. Okay, I'm being very nice now. But they have an infinite capacity to have anxiety, past the point of any normalcy. Like we're talking, there should be the conversation of institutionalization. Okay? So my aunt's in town. I won't say her name because she'll get mad at me, but she's been dealing with some issues, whether they're physical or not, who knows. And my grandma came here, my bubby came here to watch her. Well, they're next door to me. And because of my aunt's quote-unquote issues, I have not been allowed in that house. Okay, I haven't even seen my bubby. She's been in town for like 6 days. She's 5 feet away from me, guys. And I haven't...
You're not allowed in your bubby's? Oh, is it your mom's?
My bubby and my aunt are staying in my mom's house. My mom lives next door to me, but she's in Hawaii, so this house is empty. And they're staying there while my aunt goes through medical tests and doctors and whatnot.
Okay.
And I'll get to the story after the Emma interview, but I'll just leave you with this taste before we move on. Last Tuesday night, my bubby, my sweet bubby, who's like in her mid-70s, got hungry, went into my mother's refrigerator, saw a cheesecake, started eating it, and it tasted like crap. Well, the reason it tasted like crap is because it was a weed cheesecake, right? So in typical this side of my family, we all have eating disorders. Instead of just stopping eating this terrible-tasting cake with fucking weed granules in it, she's like, how can I continue to eat this? So she grabbed a chocolate bar and melted it. Well, the chocolate bar she grabbed also is a weed chocolate bar.
No.
And she melted it on and ate it all. She ended up ingesting 16 grams of THC, which my mother, it's all, for the record, this is all prescription marijuana. My mom has the card here. 16 grams is a month amount, 1 month for my mother, who's a frequent user. It's a 1 month supply. My grandmother ate it. So I'll get to the story later, but just the night ended in an emergency room. It ended with so many family roles. It ended with boundaries being crossed. There's so much to talk about without – I don't want to give anything away and get everyone mad at me. But when we're done with the Emma interview, I'll finish the story. But I'll just tell you, my grandmother was in the emergency room for overdosing on marijuana.
Wow.
So we'll continue that story later, but I do want to talk to Emma. Emma, you're on the air.
Hi there.
Thank you so much for calling. I've been trying to get you as a guest since I started this. We'll go back 2 years. So this is a very exciting moment for me, for the record.
You have not. How have
I have.
Just known about this through Guinea?
What's that?
Well, I said I only really knew of your interest until recently through Jenny, but I didn't know that you were trying to get a hold of me.
Well, Jen, my normal co-host, is out sick today, but I can verify.
No, Jenny Mullen.
No, I know. There's so many Jens in my life.
Oh.
But Jen and I, when she started, became my co-host, we made a list of guests we would like. And you were on there.
I was at the top, obviously.
Yeah. No, Christina Hoff-Summers was, who I had 2 weeks ago. But you were next in line. But anyway, enough of that. I'm very excited to talk to you.
Hi there.
First,
you got your grandmother high, so that happened.
Yeah, I want to finish that story lately. She's fine, for the record. She didn't die. And it turns out you can't OD on marijuana. That's the good news.
Right.
She just got DNA.
I knew that.
Yeah, I didn't know that at first. And when I tell the story, you'll see none of my family members that were around her knew that. So they were trying to force her to vomit, and they were calling.
It's worse.
You have no idea. You have no idea. My family's insane. But anyway, Emma.
So is mine. So there we go. It's good.
Well, that's kind of what I want to talk about. I know you probably have never listened to the show and aren't sure what I do, but you know, it's a podcast. We joke around, we dick around, but really, I'm really fascinated by psychology and people. And when I do an interview, I mean, I'll definitely plug your shows and whatnot, but really, what I'm interested in is the person. No, I'll do it. That's the right thing to do. But I'm really
I'd much rather talk. It's much more interesting.
That's what I figured. I agree with you. I'm sick of like. Oh, let's get this person to talk about what they're doing. Who cares? So here's my first question. I'll go right into it. Oh, first of all, Emma, Susie Meister is here today. You guys should meet. Say hello.
Hello, Emma.
Thanks for having me.
Of course.
You're a lovely voice.
Eli's here on sound effects, and he's irritable because he's been fasting, so he might not talk very
much.
Okay, so here's my first question. I have this theory. And I may be biased because I am the son of a celebrity, but I have this theory, and I talked to Jenny Mullen about this, and she was gracious enough to give me an honest answer, but I have a theory that actors and actresses by trade are psychologically damaged. Do you agree or not?
Oh, my gosh. That's your
barometer.
Well, you know what? If having a tendency toward masochism means you're psychologically damaged, then I would say yes. I would agree.
And what is the masochism? You mean by people being critical of your work, or?
Well, it's just, I mean, the chances of you succeeding on even on a small scale are so great that for you, any rational, sane person to enter into entertainment in the hopes of making a living out of it, and then to even go beyond that, like make a great living or make a real contribution, I mean, you are consistently setting yourself up for disappointment on a daily basis. And then, you know, with that comes all the rejection and criticism and the reasons why you don't get a job or why someone doesn't hire you for whatever it is, whether it's acting or writing, producing, directing, whatever. They're so arbitrary, you know, and like what I call like civilian jobs, normal jobs, like you want to be a lawyer. You go to law school, you pass the bar, you get an entrance level job somewhere, maybe you're a parent, who knows? And then you after 5 or 6 years maybe at a firm, you're on track for partner. You know, you can kind of plug in the numbers there with those careers. Same with doctors, any sort of profession that is really based on your just your skill.
Right.
You know,
and it's
it's a direct path, you know, it's not subjective.
Right.
So, you know, because our success in any way is determined really by being subjective, it's just fraught with peril and sad times and the most ridiculous conversations. I mean, it's like, wait, what? My tits are too small to play a lawyer? How does that even make any sense? You know?
I think that totally makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes
yeah.
sense to me. I don't know about you guys. But when you say, okay, so then there is this, I don't know that you're purposely seeking I don't think it's directly masochistic. I mean, you're not going in going, God, I hope I get rejected, and then I go home and flog myself. It's more collateral damage.
Right. Right, but I mean, look, you stick your hand in front of over a flame. It's like, oh, wow, that really hurts. You don't do that again. You know, you have a lot of bad days. I will just say, as an actor, I mean, I've only recently gotten into the world of writing and actually been paid to do it, so that's awesome, and that's a whole other topic. But having spent most of my adult life being paid to act, I lost count years ago, the amount of just horrific moments, just auditions and just days and days after days. You're like, why am I doing this? It's not worth it. Like, why am I doing this? Like, screaming in my car, like, are you kidding me? Like, are you kidding me? Just how many times those words have come out of my mouth. Like, I must hate myself. I need to continue to put myself through this because it's not worth it. And then something happens. You're like, oh, right, okay. And those are fleeting moments. It's like, oh,
tell
that's
me
why I do.
What is the most, like, just what is the rock bottom moment in your career, like when you went to an audition and they said something and you just wanted to shoot yourself, or what was said?
I won't say who it was, but I was told to literally dim my light. To dim my light because I was going to outshine the lead, and that couldn't happen. And so I was told to basically not be as good for me.
Well, that's a
compliment,
though, at least.
Yeah.
It's a very weird, I mean, that's how twisted the business is, that would end up being, well, that's not so bad. Like, that's a good one, right? Because, I mean,
yeah.
In a way, they're complimenting you. But it's not, because, again, if you look at a normal, in quotes, job, you know, you're a prosecutor and you really shine, and you get that guy and you throw him in jail, you're rewarded. It's like, yay, and they throw champagne, and they're like, let's, you know, you're the star lawyer.
Yeah.
Hey, that's so great. But, you know, in a lot of instances, there are people who have certain jobs and you don't have, and you come along and they're like, no, you're good, but it's going to upset the apple cart too much, so don't be as good. I think that's the weirdest, that was the weirdest moment for me. Like, I thought the whole point was to be really good, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You want to sell it, don't you? Like, you really want, no? Okay. You know, that was weird. And I think that sort of translated into a lot of things in my life during that time anyway. I mean, I think I was dimming my light across the board, so it wasn't too surprising that I brought that in. I don't dim my light anymore for anybody, but there was a time where that definitely was a theme.
So these auditions or these comments from a director or fellow actors, like that can really spill over into your normal life.
Yes, it does. And I think they all kind of go together. You know, actors, in many ways too, are very narcissistic. You kind of have to be.
Yeah.
You know, you have to work so hard just to get in the door. You think, well, the things will be made easier if I have an agent and I have a manager or whatever, and it's not. And in many ways, it's actually worse. Like, I thought that was handled because you're supposed to be handling it, but you didn't handle it. Okay, well then now I still got to work. I still got to sell. So you find that you're always having to talk about yourself and push yourself and be the most interesting person in the room, and it's toxic. It's really it really does give you a really warped perception of your own worth, I think.
Well, that's exactly where I was going to go with my next question about narcissism. That was the actual conversation I had with Jenny Mullen as well,
mm-hmm.
because when you say, you know, you continually have to put yourself up for rejection, a lot of people think, you know, I'm lucky because I'm not famous, but I've seen it from the inside. They do think it's easy, or, you know, you get money and you're working. They think it's a glamorous life, and they don't understand, you know, before you have success, which, again, just to get successful, you basically won the lottery. There's millions of failed actors that might be more attractive or even more talented that are, you know, living on the streets now. You know what I mean? So it's
mm-hmm.
just this blender. So everyone thinks it's this glamorous lifestyle, but when you say there's this masochistic angle, that means to me that there has to be something that still drives you to continually walk through that blender. And I think that's got to be, it has to be narcissism, because you literally have to continually try and prove people wrong, that they're wrong about you. That's my
theory.
Yes,
I think there's definitely truth to that. And I think, you know, at some point, at least with me, I got past the point of narcissism and into necessity. Because then it's just like, well, this is all I really know how to do. This is all I'm capable of doing. And then it becomes what I call stripper money. Like, well, I could go off and do something else that'll probably make me more happy and more fulfilled. But there's the lure of just that paycheck. And so, right, I mean, you just keep going. You know, you end up becoming, it's a really interesting life. And when people ask, oh, I want to get into the business, I want to become an actor, you know, I don't want to be that jaded bitch. It's like, oh, okay, really? Like, I think you need to, are you sure? Like, there's so many other things you can do with your life. You're absolutely sure you want to take this on. Okay. You know, instead of being the, oh my God, it's amazing. You can do anything. It's so wonderful. And, you know, and this is coming from someone who's done well for herself, and I'm still that, like, ooh, really? Are you sure? You really want to get into that, you know?
You're much nicer than me. Whenever people go, oh, this must be that, or I'm thinking about doing it, I say, don't. I just come out and say, don't. Don't come to L.A. Don't come here. You'll most likely end up, a teenage prostitute. Or, like, I tell them the truth. Because it's, I mean, honestly, it sounds horrible, but it's not that far off from the truth. It really is almost impossible to make it. It really is.
It's very difficult. And I think of the Brits, I think, have it right in a lot of ways, because they really do take it seriously. They study. They go to school. They really do their homework in regards to this, as opposed to a lot of the sort of just, you know, just very common attitude almost. It's like, well, I don't have to really know what I'm doing. I mean, I can film myself doing something really inappropriate and get a bunch of views, and I'll get an agent that way, or I'll just date someone famous and I'll get famous that way, or whatever. And there's, you know, and for a lot of them, you know, that works. And then, but then what? You know, there's, you can tell, I think, when you see some of the foreign actors up against our own, many ways, excluding, of course, the actors who actually really do and have trained and studied. I mean, they treat it with a reverence that I think in many ways it deserves and doesn't always get. You know, if you really do prepare and are qualified, I mean, almost like anything else, I mean, even to sell a house, you know, you have to have a certificate. You have to have something. You can't just show up and say, hey, I'll sell this house for you. I mean, you know, there are all kinds of guidelines and things and tests that most jobs require you to have. And I think it would only make sense for actors to, you know, not necessarily go to school, but at least do something. Like, take an internship somewhere or take private coaching or just something. Have some knowledge of why and how things work instead of just getting into it to be famous. I think that's the trouble.
But when you think about it, I mean, that's all good advice. Like, I grew up around Laurie Metcalf, who played Jackie on the Roseanne Show,
mm-hmm.
and she was legit trained. She went to that whatever.
She's a theater actress. Yeah.
Theater actress, and she trained with John Malkovich and the guy, Lieutenant Dan from Forrest Gump, whatever his name is. I can't remember. But there's a famous theater in Chicago, very serious acting, and she was brilliant, and she could do comedy, she could do drama, and I always respected her probably more than anyone. But, you know, when you say, oh, here's a, you and I are giving this message to listeners that are maybe interested in acting, and we're saying, oh, go to school, do this, take it serious. But nowadays, it's kind of, that's also bad advice in some way, because you can just get on a reality show and act like a white trash moron and be even more famous and skip the whole process. So you have this weird perfect storm of, it is a hustle. This business is a hustle. It's completely subjective. And you really can skip ahead all of the steps and make it if you're just willing to make an ass of yourself now. It does work. And that's got to be a weird mixed signal. Like Honey Boo Boo.
Yeah.
Honey Boo Boo's not going to train fucking Chicago. You know what I mean? And she probably makes more money than me.
Yeah, and I don't even want to get started on Honey Boo Boo. And I just all of that, but that whole
Do you hate Honey Boo Boo?
I don't know Honey Boo Boo. I just think the whole idea of it is I mean, I have the other categories for things in my, you know, in life when I see or read things or hear things, like, yeah, that goes in the why the aliens are going to blow us up column. And I put that in why they just, you know, it's like they're just hovering above Rosita in their cloak ship, and they're like, I know, there's just that's the thing that tips them over. They're like, yeah, that's it, I know. You've had it. You've had your run. It's good. This officially, I can't, you're not, you just need to reboot. You know, there's certain things like that. I'm like, why is this happening, and why is there not only why is it happening, but why is there an audience for it? A large audience, actually, like an insatiable audience, and that concerns me that we, you know, we have a hunger for this, just basically watching a train wreck, and I don't understand what that is.
I mean, that's why, you know, for me, no matter what field I was interested in, or even when I started talking about doing this podcast, it was like, no matter where I went, whenever I started questioning things, I would always find myself kind of in that alien in that cloaked ship thinking, this can't be real. And that's kind of what led me to be more and more fascinated by psychology. Now, I'm not a psychology major. I dropped out of college. But, you know, I'd like to think I'm fairly bright. And I start thinking, why is Honey Boo Boo famous? Why do people want that? Why do we like the train wreck? Why do we build up? Why do we tear it down? Pop culture. These are all things we've talked about on the show, because really, at the end of the day, it's whatever's going on in our own head, good and bad, that drives all of this. And if you're talking about a collective conscious and a collective understanding that where everybody's fucked up, that, to me, terrifies me. That means every one of us has got an issue or a problem, and the world around us is a manifestation of thousands and millions of people's fucked upness.
But we've always been that way. I mean,
yeah.
This is the same. I mean, we're the same species that, you know, gathered in the Colosseum and watched gladiators kill each other. You know,
yeah.
I mean,
I would do that.
It's not like it's a new phenomenon. We've just found there's just more of us, and we've found new and interesting ways to harm and or kill each other.
Right, and I think that's fascinating. I don't know why more people don't delve into it and study human nature and psychology. I don't know why more people don't question it. I sometimes feel like I'm the only one. Of course, I'm a narcissist.
No, you're not the only one. My friends and I will sit around and talk about the sad state of the human condition, and with wine always. And
of course.
You know, I come from the point of view just that we're fundamentally bad. I mean, I truly think that. And, you know, I am surrounded by people who think the exact opposite, which is great. I've obviously pulled in people into my life who, you know, are like, no, it doesn't have to be like that. You know, and then I'm always a counter-argument. I'm like, but this is why I'm right. This is why, you know, I'm like, this is why you're wrong. And I think that is, having that perspective is crucial, because otherwise, things would just get, you know, very dark. Like, I'm totally sounding like a full-on, you know, geek here when I say this, but I don't care. I embrace it. I look at life, and I love science fiction. You know, I'm a science fiction fan, always have been. And, you know, Star Trek is my, you know, like, it's my thing. It's my pacifier. All of it, but Next Generation is my full pacifier. And it's very appealing to me because it is so idealistic, and this future world where we got it together. You know, somehow we overcame all our hardships and our destructive tendencies, and we made it work. And we found new species to fight with. But us, we at least, are this unified front, which I think is
wonderful, and I'm drawn to it, and I mean, there's not a week that goes by that I don't at least watch one or two episodes, usually while I'm editing or something, but it's always on, versus the Battlestar Galactica redo, the Ronald Moore Battlestar Galactica, which
I
watched. You want to talk, no, you're Mr. Psychology. If you want to delve into the human condition, you really just trust me on this. Just go.
All right, I will take a look. But let me just say,
But it is a very different interpretation of our human outcome. And every time I've watched it a few times, the whole series, I'm like, yep, that's kind of it. That's how it really is going to go down. And it's kind of depressing. And then I pop in a, you know, happy episode of Star Trek to make it all okay.
Well, I do find it interesting. You say you think people are bad, and I don't want to digress too much because I do want to talk about the projects we're here now, but I am one of those people that is opposing of that. I actually think people are inherently good, and I'm not religious. I don't want to freak you out or anything. It's just my whole theory is basically we're born, you know, good for the most part. Actually, that's not even accurate. I don't put judgment. People are just what they are. You know, it's the whole collection, the yin and the yang, good and bad. And I think when we come to this planet, depending on the way we're raised by our parents or just the situations we deal with in our life, slowly it eats away at us. And basically, if you're raised in a dysfunctional upbringing, that will slowly kill the good part of you. And the bad, quote-unquote bad part of you, will begin to take over. And I do think people are inherently good. Even killing, you know, even if we're talking about mass wars and warriors, like, I don't even put the judgment that that's necessarily bad. It's just we're tribal. We have monkey brains. But if you had people from the start where you could teach them about respect and honor, and from the time they're babies till they're adults, I don't think as many bad things would happen. But you do. You think people are just fucked, right? Honestly?
I think overall, if left up to their own devices, if you strip them from... I think we try to make ourselves sound a lot better than we are. And I think that is a wider spread, you know, form of narcissism. We try not to think of ourselves as animals, but that's exactly what we are. And when you strip all the comfort, when you strip the safety, security, when you make people afraid, when you make people in want, you know, whatever, they react, they get violent with each other, they become more selfish, they become, you know, their willingness to give and to show compassion or empathy for others becomes more and more limited. And this is not, I mean, I'm not pulling that on my ass. I mean, you could literally just look anywhere in the world throughout history, and even in your own neighborhood, and you can see how that trickles down. When people are happier, when they feel a little bit, you know, there's more at ease, they are naturally more generous. They are more likely to stop and give an extra dollar to the dude on the street begging for change. Or they're more likely to roll down the window and say, hey, you need help. But if they are already in flight, if they're already feeling their basic animal come up and the hair on the back, they're not going to stop for you. They're going to take care of their own. That's an animal. And that's not, again, I'm talking about judgment. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
That just is. When people try to make it, you know, oh, we're so fantastic and we just do all these amazing things. Like, human beings are capable of creating art. That is something that we do that is amazing and unique. Although I'm sure there's some behavioralists who would say that, you know, elephants can create art too. So I don't know. With their trunks. I mean, you know, I don't know.
I have seen an elephant shit in a complete perfect circle.
They're smart with elephants.
Yeah, they know. He just went in a circle, so I guess that's kind of an art piece. But I'm with you. I mean, we're probably boring the crap out of our listeners, but you kind of make my point, is that when you say people do feel more generous, they're more apt to do more generous things. That's basically what I'm saying. It's the world around you, the way in which you interpret your life, the dysfunctions that you overcome. By the end, when you're 35 or 40, if you've done the work, if you've overcome your bullshit, that monkey brain, that animal brain, you can actually control or subdue better because you're much more empathetic. You're thinking about other people. It's just, it's like a game. Your brain is a game, and every day you move the piece one step. And if you're not willing to do the work on yourself, be honest with yourself, then you end up being an asshole. I think it's real simple. So tell me what you think. This is my solution. I take over the world, okay? I use force because I am a monkey. So I kill everyone who's against me, and I become supreme chancellor of the universe, okay? Then whenever children are born, I perform a reversible vasectomy on all the males. So no one can have children anymore without my say. So when they get like 17, 18, they'll have to pass a barrage of psychological tests, emotional tests, physical tests, and if they pass, mm-hmm. they can get their vasectomy reversed. What do you think? It's genius, right?
I'm gonna weigh in on that insanity a little bit.
It's genius. Just admit it.
I think we've all said this at some point or another that it's obviously our basic human right to procreate and reproduce and all that. But you know, I'm sure you've come across firsthand examples of people in your life who, like, the world is not better because you've now had a child. You're making it harder for everybody else right now. Would we not be? I mean, we have to pass all kinds of tests to do just about everything in life. But the most important thing that we can do for the world, and in terms of actually allowing the human species to continue, there's no test. It is very strange. I mean, if it's for, you know, it's great. It's a great idea. I think you should run with
it. Thank you.
It's a great idea.
It's a really great idea because think about no more kids in foster care, right? No more abortions. Then you lose that whole religious debate about abortions. That solves so many political problems, and Republicans don't win elections anymore. So the economy starts to improve. It all pretty much will unfold into a perfect, happy place. We all agree. But, okay, so that was my Hitler theory. Now, let's catch up because we are winding down a little bit. Your YouTube show, forgive me, my notes are not in front of me because Jen's not here. What is the name of it? I have seen it. It's an advice show, and I love it. But what's it called, and where can people hear it?
It's called S&M-a. Like S&M, but with an A at the end, yes.
So how do you spell it?
Another M and an A, S&M-a. So E-S-S-M-E-M-M-A, S&M-a.
And you basically ask people to ask you questions, and then you give them advice,
well,
right?
That's... Thursdays is advice, and yes, people write in and ask me all kinds of questions and tell me their problems, and I try to help them in my best non-professional way. I used to have a disclaimer running underneath, like, I'm not responsible for this advice, and then I think people got, hopefully, the message that I'm not a licensed professional. And when I actually do get really serious questions, I will write back and say, I'm really not qualified to help you with this. Please keep, and then with a link.
Be a professional. But it is tongue-in-cheek for the most part, and there are some hilarious moments. I do recommend people watching, because you basically, I don't want to say you're making a joke of it, but your answers are tongue-in-cheek. That would be fair to say, yeah.
It's all done under a comedy umbrella, but there are plenty of examples of me actually meaning what I'm saying, I don't think a lot of times, maybe I'm just biased, but I'm like, if someone gave me that advice, I'm like, that's not what my psychologist or my shrink would say, but that's probably more true to life. And I can't even think of an example. Obviously not when I say you should key the dude's car. Obviously that's not my real answer. But, when he cheated on me, what do I do? Sleep with his best friend, obviously. That's not really the best advice. But, I've seen that happen. I have not ever done that personally, but I have known, I've had friends who, like, that's how I'm going to get back at him. If your goal is to hurt him, it works.
Right.
Do sleep with his best friend. But yes, it is not, I am not whatever. I can't even think of someone who gives advice professionally on the radio right now, but someone who.
They're Jake Pentland, Truth Hammer. Is a good term.
Okay,
that's what I use
you.
A lot in this show. Just we call it humor, but
I do sometimes get serious. Not serious, but you can tell when I'm putting on my Emma show and when I'm actually just in a real time voice. Like, okay, hey, listen, this is what's up.
And are you always in a bathrobe or a towel?
I have been in a couple of times. I don't spend a whole lot of time making sure I look really attractive. I mean, if and it's, you know, I have shooted around other things going on, so I'm like, oh my God, it's 11 o'clock or whatever, and I can't. So he's like, okay, well, I've got to do this, and this. So it's perfect. I'll just combine it. I've got to clean my face, and I've got to do a vlog. So I'll just make the vlog around cleaning my face and then have a mask on and look really weird. Or, you know, I'm pretty natural. It's not like, you know, I'm fully HD makeup out and, you
right.
know,
no.
looking
they,
like
they
I'm, you know,
and they're,
catwalk
they're,
right. You know,
they're very popular. You know, that a lot of times when you say you're on YouTube, everyone like, kind of rolls their eyes. It seems to be that. But yours is one of the more quote unquote successful YouTube channels. That's fair to say. Yes.
I get paid to run my mouth off. That is a win. If nothing else, if, you know, that was never even something I thought would occur. I started doing them really because I wanted to continue to maintain a presence online. I had started to do a bunch of different web-based projects, which I highly recommend if anyone, you know, who is listening who had asked me about getting into the business. That is actually a legitimate answer. It would be know something about the internet. Like don't limit yourself to thinking that, oh, I'm going to come to Hollywood and I'm going to get stopped at a, you know, while I'm eating a hamburger and I'm going to get an agent and then I'm going to go. No, like be willing to be a part of your own process because it's crucial, you know, and everything has changed so much and it continues to change. I mean, it's hard to keep up. But there's so much. There's just a wealth of opportunity online, and to have, you know, that's why I did it. It was just to continue to have a presence there, and that actually, you know, ended up, my damn channel approached me and was like, you know, would you like to just, you know, come do, you know, just do exactly what you do, and I'm like, you mean
well,
you're going to do this?
You like said you're thing. Writing now, too, right?
Yes. My writing partner and I got, well, it's totally escaping my brain right now.
Development?
We released. There we go. I'm sorry. I haven't slept well in like 2 nights. I'm so sorry. Brain is, no, it's fine. It's
I won't keep you much longer. Don't worry.
No, it's not you. It's my boyfriend who was tossing and turning and hogging the covers and kept me up for 2 nights.
You should dump him.
He's
good for you anyway.
No.
I'm available for the record.
We IDW published our first graphic novel this past year, which we're very very proud of.
Very cool.
You know that was very cool. It was called Contra Pussy.
I said I'm sold.
Yeah, it's subversive, which is, you know, my favorite kind of genre, really. We have a pilot in development right now, which is great. And, you know, it's a very different process and one that I'm very grateful that I not only really enjoy, but that I can actually be allowed to do. Again, it's like anything, you know, you just hope that there's someone who will let you do it.
Well, it sounds like you're having success. I do want to have you back on sometime when we, because Subversive is my favorite too. I kind of wanted to introduce myself to you. I am a fan, and I'm glad that you called in. I would love to have you back, and we can talk more about Contra Pussy and really, really offend a lot of people. That's kind of what I like doing. So
fantastic. That's what I like doing as well.
Perfect. So you will come back on. I have it on.
Oh, yeah.
It's recorded.
You have it
okay.
on record. Yes, recorded.
I have it on record, and I will barrage you on Twitter. I know I got a ton of DMs about questions to ask you. I know that you don't want to hear those questions, so I'm going to be respectful and not go there. You know what I'm talking about. So let's wrap this up. I want to finish my grandmother's story. So thank you so much, Emma.
You're welcome. Thanks
Good
for
luck.
Having me.
Of course.
How
thank
you
for do? Talking psychology and aliens and eating Christians eating lions and shit. It's my favorite shit.
Yay.
All right.
Do
thank
it again.
You, for sure. Okay,
yes.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.
All right, let's get into my horrible, dysfunctional shit. That was That was too highbrow even for me. How are you guys? Eli, you're still fasting. Are you going to flip out?
What'd you say?
Are you flipping out? Have you eaten yet?
No, I haven't eaten yet.
What are you feeling right now? Are you feeling angry?
Yes.
Would you like to talk about it?
Do you want to talk about it?
There's nothing to talk about other than you have to finish your story that you already started.
Oh, boy.
Would you like me to finish my story? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm waiting.
You don't want me to stall, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Because that would, like, irritate you if I didn't really get to the story.
Right.
All right. You shouldn't eat breakfast. You should be yelling at me by now. Okay, so let me finish the goddamn story. So my bubby fucking eats weed, right? Okay, now here's the thing, because I can't get too into it.
Wait. I need to know what her symptoms were. Like, because she was eating by herself, and she knew it wasn't tasty, but she didn't know what she was eating. So how did she find out what happened?
Well, again, this is very hard for me to talk about, because first of all, a lot of my family listens, and the point here is that although I am a 35-year-old man with my own life, it does seem that if I express my opinions or say, hey, this is kind of weird, that seems to upset people. So I'm being very careful.
Well, did she get sick?
She got very sick. She had to go to the emergency room. But basically what happened was when you ingest that much weed, basically what's going to happen is you're going to get dizzy and you're going to get a headache and you're going to fall asleep. And that's essentially what happened. She went to the emergency room only because she did have blood pressure issues. And one doctor said, although she's safe, she's not going to OD on weed, it can't affect your blood pressure. And since her age is what it is, it's best to monitor. So we basically dropped her off at the emergency room to have a nap. And then she slept under doctor care. You know, I'm not going to use names, but before all this happened, my aunt, who's going through a lot of stuff, next door won't let me in the house, okay? So I was going.
Why does she hate you? Am I not allowed to?
She doesn't hate
that?
Me. She loves me. I can't get into details. It's just, let's just say she's having a lot of anxiety and she's embarrassed about it. And
okay.
She loves me so much, she doesn't want to be embarrassed in front of me. So it's.
Aw, that's sweet.
It's Jen, yeah. Except by now, I think it's pretty obvious, despite what anyone thinks about me, that I am not a judgmental person. I really am not. And there's nothing you can do or say that would make me not love you or make me judge you harshly. I'm not that kind of person. Shut up, Eli. So they won't let me in the fucking house. Well, meanwhile, my aunt needs someone to watch her, even though she's in her fucking 40s, and my bubby's in her 70s.
I love how you say you won't judge her.
Yeah, maybe that's a really good point, Susie. Maybe they're right. But, you know, I'm jumping around. I'm in the house next door. I am 7 feet away from the door, okay? So everyone in my family, my mother, my sisters, my stepmother, is calling me saying, you need to sleep over there to watch them, okay? Now, this is what I'm talking about roles. I start seeing my role like, you know, I'm not allowed in that house. My grandmother's fucking, this is how fucked up my family is. She's 5 feet away from me, and I can't see her. I never see her. She lives in another state. I haven't even had lunch with her because she won't leave my aunt's side. But my aunt won't let me in the house. So my grandmother is 7 feet away from me eating weed cheesecake and melting weed chocolate while my aunt locks the door. And then everyone else in my family is like, you need to stay over there and watch them. Thank you, Eli. So I'm getting all this barrage of calls, and I'm not going to get to, I already know I'm getting in trouble, but just, I got to be honest. It's my fucking show. I got to be honest. This is my therapy right now. So I'm getting these multiple calls, like, you need to stay over there. And I see, okay, I've got to draw a boundary in my family, because my family obviously is looking at me like, oh, none of us want to do this. None of us are comfortable in this situation. Let's make Jake do it. It's like Mikey with the fucking cereal, like, oh, Mikey will like it. So no one wants to stay there. And I'm getting all these calls, like, total fucking guilt, like, oh, I'm not comfortable sleeping there, so you have to. And it's like, so when I say no, the fact that you're not comfortable staying there, I should be even more uncomfortable since I'm not allowed in the fucking house 5 feet away. But no, it's like, you do it. And then I start getting these guilty calls, like, you're going to make me do it. And it's just total fucking batshit bullshit. This is all before my bubby ate the weed, sorry. So I repeated the answer, I am 5 feet away. If anything happens, should anybody slip or fall or need to go to the emergency room, I am 5 feet away. I will walk over and put you in the car and drive you wherever you need to go since you won't let me in the fucking house. Well, that's not good enough. I need to sleep in their fucking bed. That's what everyone's telling me. So I now have this weird,
who's
like, bed? I'm 35, I'm married, and when I say no, I'm next door, I'll be there. That should be good enough. In any other family, that would be good enough. Like, who's lucky enough to have their son or grandson 5 feet away from them when they need them most, right? That's pretty lucky. Right, somebody?
Right.
But that's not good enough. I have to sleep in that house, they're saying. That's the only thing they'll accept.
Well,
so,
why don't you want to? I don't get it.
Well, I'm
just
married.
Just because your aunt doesn't want you. Well, so what?
No, I want to sleep in my bed with my wife. I don't want to sleep on a couch.
Why couldn't she stay with you?
Bubby won't leave my aunt's side. That was one of the things I suggested. Okay. No, they won't leave. They won't make the effort to come 5 feet over my way or open their door to me. But I have to drop everything and go out of my way for them. And then no one else in my family is comfortable doing it. So I repeatedly say, no, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. And they don't hear no. It was the weirdest thing. I'm telling you, from 6 till midnight on Tuesday, I honestly said, no, I am not sleeping over there. No joke. 47 times. I started writing it down. I started literally writing it down every time I said no. And it was like there was no, okay, we respect your decision. None of that. And the night ended with my bubby when I picked her up in the emergency room at like 10:30 or 11. And I get her home. I make sure she's home safe. I drive her. It's not midnight. And I'm working my ass off, by the way. I'm working, you know, 11, 12-hour days at work. I'm exhausted. And I drop her off. My other aunt flies in, so they're watched. That's how we solved it. My aunt had to fly in from San Francisco to sleep in the couch because me being 5 fucking feet
because
away.
Because of you?
Well, she would have come anyway. But, yeah, I'm not going to do it. I don't care how cold and callous I sound. I'm not doing it. I'm drawing my fucking boundaries. That's what the show's about today, drawing boundaries. So I get home, and somebody in my family, because I don't want to get him mad, tells me at midnight, right when I'm ready to go home and see my wife finally after this long day, worried about my buddy and whatnot, she says, I need you to go to Ralph's and do grocery shopping right now at midnight.
Well, she ate all the cheesecake.
that's what I thought. I go, do they not have food? And so I asked my buddy. She's like, no, there's plenty of food here. And the person that asked me, she's like, no, they have food. It's just not good. They don't like it. So they don't like the food in their house. I have to go at midnight to buy them groceries? Am I insane? I'm insane. That's what you're saying. Fine. I accept it.
I feel like you should have just been willing to sleep over there for one night.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
I don't see what the big deal is. Because your bubby needed you, and so did your aunt. And it's right next door. If your wife needed you, she could have come over too.
It's not even if my wife needed me. Why is 5 feet away not good enough? Just explain that to me. And I offered to get a baby monitor and walkie-talkies too.
Well, okay, when they were asking you to do it, what was their argument of why you should stay there?
Well, first of all, my aunt did not ask me to do it because she doesn't want me in the house. She asked other people to do it, and they didn't want to, so they tried to dump it on me. That's the truth. They're not comfortable in that situation, so you're doing it. That's basically how it was presented. If they said someone needs to stay there, and again, why can't I walk 5 feet over and come check every hour?
But what's the argument of why someone needed to be there?
That's the greatest question anyone's asked. There is none. Okay, now, just so you know, my aunt isn't, like, cripple or on, like, you know, a feeding tube or anything. So there is no need for anyone to be there. There is not. The truth is my aunt was so nervous and had so much anxiety that she couldn't control that someone needed someone there to calm her down. And that's different then. That's different than go sleep over there and take care of them. You know, if they were in a feeding tube or in a wheelchair, of course I'd sleep over there. These are two adult, grown women that are dealing with anxiety. This is not, you know what I mean? We're talking anxiety. And then when everyone was calling me, like, you've got to go stay there, they're like, she's just really neurotic and she's nervous. It's like, that's not my problem.
Do you feel bad for her at all?
I do. Of course I feel bad for her. I love my aunt. But it's like, you know, there's got to be a
point.
This
doesn't make sense, though. You say that you're the crazy whisperer or whatever. Like, this is your specialization.
You don't understand. Had my aunt let me in the house, I would have been over there truth hammering the shit out of her. Saved her fucking life. I would have.
Well, why doesn't your aunt trust you in the house? I don't know.
My theory is that she was embarrassed because she does have physical symptoms and that she's not comfortable with, and she's embarrassed to have me there. But it's like, if you don't let me in the house, you don't want to talk to me, then you don't get to ask me to drop everything for you. It's just not right. It's not right that my grandmother's 5 feet away for 5 days and I can't have lunch with her. And I can't go in that house. But yet, when everybody else is uncomfortable because they're fed up with the anxiety levels in that house, then they dump it on me. That's just fucked up. That's what I'm talking about. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I'm going to therapy next week. I'll talk about this in therapy.
if you have, you don't have to name the name of the person, but if you had to rank like a tournament of champions of who is the craziest person in your family, could you do it?
Absolutely. Although there's multiple forms of craziness, myself included,
mm-hmm.
that you can't really say crazy. It's got to be like craziest in this way. Like you have to have like who's the has the most anxiety. Then it would be like who has the deepest OCD. Then whose eating disorder is the worst? Who has the most anger? And the thing would change. I mean, everybody's family's
mm-hmm.
got their thing. And again, I love my family. It's just when I come here every week and I talk about nurture and controlling your anxiety and being honest with yourself, I'm seeing, like, this is why it drives me so much. This is why I get so mad, because I'm working out my own issues within my family, because I see grown-up people in my family that can't control their anxiety, and they push everyone else around them into this fucking, like, whirling dervish of anxiety. Everybody was getting anxious. The anxiety was spinning out of control. This is all anxiety, by the way. This isn't like,
yeah.
I know I can't give details, but just imagine a group of people that spin anxiety and make each other more anxious. And you've heard my mom call this show before. You heard my uncle was on, and I got in that fight. Everyone is, like, really kind of nervous. And then nobody's really confrontational in my family. We're not the kind that go, hey, control your goddamn temper here, or get a hold of yourself. Like an airplane, when that chick was freaking out on the plane, they all got in a line and slapped her one by one. No one does that in my family. What they do is they go in the back, and then they're like, oh, my God, we got to keep her. And then everybody's getting more and more anxious. And I'm not an anxious person. I'm fucked up, but I don't have anxiety out of control like that. I control my anxiety for the most part. And that's the thing that's kind of upsetting. It's like, why am I still the baby in the family, the one that really has a good level control of his anxiety, the one that can go, look, no one's going to die here. Everyone just take a calm, just take a breath. I'm 5 feet away. Like, this is normal, real life here. We don't need to constantly
yeah.
go out of our way to make everybody feel comfortable because we're fucking neurotic. Like, that's
well,
the normal way to
do it. Well, do you feel responsible? Like, maybe if you had been there, then Bubby wouldn't have had to go to the ER.
No, I don't feel responsible because when my Bubby ate the weed, I was still at work. So I wouldn't have been there in time anyway.
All right. Okay.
Again, this is really hard to explain without giving details. Just trust me, Susie, when I say... that we all play roles in our family, and unfortunately the role I have now as an adult is different than the role that my family sees me as. And this is a larger issue, and why I brought it up on the show. I'm not really into airing my dirty laundry. I'm very private, despite what people would think. And the reason I decided to talk about this today is because I know each one of us, Eli, you, everyone listening, you, as you get older as an adult, you start seeing that you have to define your own life and that there's a certain familial role that you've played up until that point that got you through.
Yeah.
You know, whether you were the peacekeeper or whatever the roles are, now that you're in your own life, it's really healthy that you stop playing into those roles. It's really healthy as you get older that you define your own roles, that you say, this is what I will and won't put up with. I'm in charge of my life. And it's very hard for all of us, and this is basically my point, is the more you try and define yourself, the harder it's going to be for your family. Because they're going
to... Are they mad at you now still?
I don't know if they're mad, but it's just like this, like, what's wrong with Jake kind of thing. And it's
mm-hmm.
really, there's nothing... What's wrong with everyone else that we can't, like, calmly say, I'm next door if you need me? Why is that such a freak out? Like, what? And I'm leaving out so many details. I'm leaving out probably 30 phone calls of... guilt and attacks of, like, how, you know, this and that leading to this and that, when really just my aunt just had to calm the fuck down. And nobody would say that.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody would just say, calm the fuck down.
Mm-hmm.
So.
How's your aunt feeling now?
I don't know, because they won't talk to me or let me in the house, so it's very hard to find out. And when I do text, I called my sister Jenny to find out. And it was my nephew's birthday, which I'd forgot, so that felt like
aww.
Shit. Felt like shit. So it was a rough week. Let's take a phone call because I'm getting depressed, and let's end the shit show. But Travis, you're on the air.
Hi, Jake.
Hey.
Everything you've said is so correct so far. I love your show. I just want to say a short thing. I was born in West Philadelphia. I was raised there. I played in the school grounds. And a few days every week, I just play in the playgrounds. And eventually, I was playing some b-ball outside school. Grew up to no good. Started making trouble in the neighborhood. I got a little button, dude.
Oh, I was so into that. Aw. Oh, tugged my heartstrings. I was all worried you'd been beaten or molested. Bastard.
I've been molested by your show.
Yeah, we all have. Well, thank
no,
you. Do you have anything else? Cause we're gonna...
No, I'm serious. What? Everything you've said is so correct. Just why should society be so dumbed down? Anyway, keep going. Good job.
All right, I'm ending the show. I'm gonna go cut myself. I love you guys.
Be strong, Jake.
Yeah,
love
thank you.
You.
All right. of us. We're all struggling. And Jen's out sick today. We love you. We miss you. So sorry for bumming everybody
out.
What's that?
What's wrong with her?
I don't know.